Down at the little church in the ravine, the congregation is gearing up for the end times. Pastor Paul comes from the Cotton Mather school of preaching, meaning he intends to scare the holy bejabbers out of his flock, wake them up before it's too late, and lead them into the nettleless valley of righteousness. He's offering salvation, take it or leave it. Woe unto those who don't take it. Jimmy the Geek's Mrs. listens to these sermons Sunday after Sunday. She recently volunteered to minister to the Little Lambs of Jesus, the youth group that meets an hour before the late service, and Jimmy, an electronics engineer down at the Boeing plant, is at a complete loss what to do about her evangelical fervor. "She wasn't like this when we got married," he told our decidedly profane group of sinners gathered at the booths beside the pool table in the pilot lounge. "I'm not real religious, you know, but I agreed to go to church with her. It's almost a cult what they got down there in the ravine. I didn't know we'd be drinking Kool-Aid instead of grape juice." "Armageddon, man," Tutok pronounced over a tough eight-ball side pocket, which he missed by a country mile. Chalking his cue thoughtfully, he commiserated with Jimmy. "Scary stuff, Revelations. Mark of the Beast. Four Ponies of the Apocalypse. I've been listening to Midnight Radio lately. Biden's the Antichrist, and the Middle East is heating up. The Russians are coming in. The pandemic is a sign of the Second Coming. Any time now, they say." "Pastor Paul predicts Iran will get the bomb in a year, and that's the end." "Jenny believes this stuff," Jimmy blurted. He waved his empty pint glass at Vic, tonight's fill-in bartender. Jimmy wasn't going home soon, it was obvious to all of us, and by God, we were going to stick it out with our pal till the glasses were broken or the bar closed. South End Sinner's Code. "What am I going to do? I already said I won't go anymore, and now she's teaching Sunday school, too." Robbie stopped mid-shot, pointed with his cue, and said solemnly, "Call her bluff, buddy." Jimmy shook his head. Robbie continued, "Give her a year for the end times to happen. When it doesn't, time to reassess. Check and mate, dude." Jimmy took Vic's refill the way a pilgrim clutches sacrament. Robbie slammed the sixth ball into the corner pocket with a bang, left himself an easy two ball on the side. "That's what I would do," he declared. Tuto could see his own end times if Robbie hit the two ball. "Easy for a man with no wife, Rob," he smiled, maybe put a little doubt on the table. "Face the funny thing. Hard as hell to argue it." "Damn, Tom, you want Jimbo to start stocking food and guns?" Robbie eased the three into the side with a soft, sweet stroke. The eight ball waited, hard cut, but Robbie was hot, all the confidence in the world. Tutok groaned, leaned on his useless cue. "No," he muttered, I just want him to save a marriage." Jimmy nodded mournfully. Robbie cut the eight ball, and we all watched it roll half a mile down a long green to the far corner pocket, hang for a breathless second, then drop with a dull clatter. "End time, Tom," the shooter laughed, and Tutok slapped a new set of quarters on the felt. If any of us thought we'd solve Jimmy's problems tonight, it would take more beers than Vic would serve.